I've had the pleasure of knowing Evangelist Marshall Windsor now for several years, and Nancy, wonderful wife. And now we are going to get the pleasure of hearing what the Lord has put on his heart for us. He's an evangelist. He operates in that office, and the evangelist is a gift to the church. His office is a gift. You're a gift, Marshall, and I want you to come up at this time. And God bless you, and you're needed for us. And I'm excited about what God has to share through you today. Marshall Windsor.
Bless you, brother. Praise the Lord. Do you love Jesus? Give him a hand. All right. Praise the Lord. Josephine, thank you so much for sharing your heart. And it's interesting, it kind of lines up with the message. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2. I know this is kind of the Christmas passage, but we're going to take a little different turn this morning. Hope you don't mind. I feel like the Lord's put a few thoughts on my heart. I want to share them quickly in the time we have left. And if you're a prayer warrior, please grab a prayer card. Have some down here in front while you're turning to Luke chapter 2. And the Lord's blessed us and allowed us to be able to do some writing. There's some materials. When you're picking up one of Josephine's newsletters, look over. There's some books and materials that the Lord's helped us to put together and to avail yourself of. The Lord just really encouraged me or put on my heart to encourage the saints that, you know, sharing your faith, the hope that's within you, is not as hard as we make it out to be. And a lot of us, we just say, man, I'm not an evangelist. I don't do that kind of stuff, you know. But the Lord's really called every single one of us to be ready to share the hope that's within us. And that's the Word of God. And the Lord knows a lot of us are introverts. Some of us are extroverts, never met a stranger. And there's a lot of those over at Calvary Commission, I've noticed. I'm not sure. But anyway, I'll see you guys on Thursday. But the Lord has just given us opportunities to build friendships and to, you know, a lot of times when friends are going through things, that's an opportunity to share something good. And God's good, amen? But let me share out of Luke chapter 2. I want to share the first 14 verses. I'm going to share from the English Standard Version this morning. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius, the governor, was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the, he was of the lineage, or the house of David, that's right, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, at the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Let me read that again, verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We're so thankful, Father, for your presence that we've already felt here this morning. Lord, we pray the blood of Jesus, Lord, that anointing, Lord, that's represented by the stripes that you bore and the blood that was shed up on the cross of Calvary. Lord, we just pray that anointing, the anointing that breaks every yoke. Lord, would you allow that anointing to come in even greater measure this morning, Lord, from the very top of the roof to the foundations of this, your house of prayer. Lord, we just pray not by might or by power, but Lord, you push back every power of darkness. Lord, every distraction, every hex and hoax of witchcraft, Lord. Those hoax, Hallelujah. Lord, help me to pronounce those right, God. Lord, I just pray your perfect will be done this morning. Lord, I just pray all those things, Lord, that are not pleasing to you. Lord, would you just remove those from this, your house of prayer? Hallelujah. And Lord, I just pray your presence that we've sensed here this morning already come in even greater measure. Lord, prepare hearts to receive and ears to hear the word you burden me with this morning. I just pray it's your word and not man's. And all God's people said, amen. Well, don't you love it when the Lord kind of helps you, give you a little humility on occasion? You can't even talk. Praise God. Well, you know, I appreciate Josephine, her testimony in sharing about how God is such a divine protection for his people. And, you know, yesterday we celebrated something terrible that happened, Pearl Harbor, over 78 years ago, the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And everybody, if you would have asked anybody, they would have said it was a million and one chance. They would have never been able to succeed. The base at Hawaii was more fortified than any other base that the United States had. They were separated. They were remote. There was no way to do it. Nobody could succeed. And their false sense of security cost a huge price for the American people. And, you know, sometimes I think that false sense of security kind of bleeds over into the church today. And sometimes we feel if we're just going through all the right motions, if we're saying the right things, and if we work up ourselves to perform the way we're supposed to perform in church, then sometimes we just get this false sense of security because it's a man-made security, even though we're in God's house. And see, what God really longs for you and I is he longs to clothe us with a divine hedge of protection so that when he calls us to go out into the highways and the byways, to foreign lands, to your neighbor next door, down to Walmart to witness to somebody who's crying and doesn't have anything, when God calls you to do something, you know that you're clothed with the anointing and the presence of Almighty God. And so I've entitled my message this morning, Have You Got Your Swaddling On? Have you got your swaddling on? You see, the thing about swaddling, you know, a lot of us, we think, you know, that's kind of restrictive. When we talk about church and the things of God and we talk about the Bible, well, it's all those things you can't do. But I don't know about you. I ran hard from God and I was miserable for about 12 years until I finally quit running. I finally quit running. You know, I thought I could work things out. God was so big. You know, I mean, he's busy helping other people. I can take care of myself. And the reality was, I couldn't take care of myself. I just felt all these things were a little bit restrictive. But see, the thing about swaddling, those spiritual swaddling, those restrictions actually protect us. And that swaddling was a practice of the early Hebrews and the other civilizations. It actually protected the infant from disease and harm. Matter of fact, Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 4, Ezekiel the prophet, or God saying, "And as for your birth, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling cloths." So God's kind of upset with his people right there. But in looking at that passage of scripture, we can see that normally they would take a newborn baby, they would cut the umbilical cord. They still do that today. Hallelujah. They would wash them with clean water, but actually they would use soap and oil, or salt and oil, and then they would wrap them in swaddling cloths. They would use strips of cloth and wrap that newborn baby from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. And sometimes the history books tell us they actually looked like mummies. They would wrap them so tightly. And they felt that wrapping them so tightly would help their limbs actually grow straight. And here's Jesus in our passage of scripture. He's born in a place where animals lived, stayed in a manger. A lot of times they were made of stone. Sometimes they were made of wood. But I don't know about you. I've cleaned a few too many horse stalls in my years to know that that's where I want my kids born and hanging out, in the manger in the barn. That's not where they need to be. That's not going to be a good place. But see, God wants you and I to know that even baby Jesus needed protection at that stage of his life on earth. And you and I, we need protection in the stages of spiritual growth that you and I go through while we're here on this side of heaven. Praise God. There was an interesting story about the Native Americans that said they would have a certain tribe, they would have a ritual that they would take their young warriors through at about the age of 13 before they could actually be called a warrior. And so they took one young man and he went out and they would blindfold him and take him out in the middle of the forest and leave him overnight. And so can you imagine the young man, he's blindfolded, he's standing in the middle of the forest at night And I don't know if you've ever been in the forest at night, but the wind begins to blow and all these noises that you don't really know what they are, and the moaning of the trees and the swaying and the brushing, and different animals are making some noise, and then you hear the coyote howl, and you know, you jump out of your skin, all these sounds, and the young boy stand there all through the night wondering what's going to attack him. And then when morning comes, you can begin to see it starting to get light. He takes the blindfold off to look around. And as he's looking around, he notices his father standing there, who's been standing there all night long, watching over him. You see, your heavenly Father wants you and him to have such a relationship that you know, that you know, that you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that he is standing there guarding you and I, whether we're strong or weak, protecting us just like the swaddling claws of a baby. They may be a little bit restrictive, but they protect us. And the thing about them is, though, they always require someone else to provide for us. Now, I don't know about you, but I was raised that you take care of yourself. You don't need anybody else. Just get her done, right? Just make it happen. We don't need anybody else's help. But you see, even Mary knew that her baby needed something when her baby was born. It was her firstborn son, her first baby. She loved that baby. She's going to take care of that. Every mother would do that. And in verse 7, as we read, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, I don't know about you, but I was number 5 of 8, and I'm probably sure mom was tired by the time I came around. I was born at 4:54 in the morning. About that time of day, she's just like, get out, would you? Okay, it's time. Get out. But, you know, I'm sure there were days that, you know, it was just like old hat to her. She knew what to do. And I pushed the edge of the envelope. I know I did. If there was one she wanted to get rid of, it might have been me, you know. But God never gets tired of taking care of his children. He never does. Even it's interesting in verse 12 in our passage, it says, then this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Don't look for the richest place in town. Don't look for the nicest clothes, all the money or possessions when you're looking for the Savior, when you're looking for the Christ child. You know, I began to think of that. It was reminding me of Donna Summer's old song. Y'all, a lot of y'all probably don't even remember her, but she had a song that says, she works hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She worked hard for the money, so you better treat her right, right? I was about ready to start breakdancing here in a minute, you know. Do my moonwalk in out of my. But can I submit to you this morning, just like you chuckle this morning, that's not where the Christ child is found. You know, all the money you can make, I've had money, I've had none. And you know what? Having some is a little bit better than having none. I'm here to tell you, praise God. But I'm telling you, all your fulfillment doesn't come in just worldly wealth. That's not going to do it for you. It's not in the things that help us swagger around, but it's in those things that help swaddle us in the love of God. Hallelujah. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. Hallelujah. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother, Proverbs 18:24 says. But you and I have a decision to make. We have to let God swaddle us in his swaddling claws of righteousness. Hallelujah. We've got to let him in. We've got to allow him to come into our world and have all of us. Now, I don't know about you. I was raised a good Southern Baptist, so I was willing to let God, you know, at least in the front living room of my house. Anyway, you know, because this is my house. I worked hard to build this thing, you know. No. First time I went in a Pentecostal church, they said, raise your hands. They got about right here. And I said, I'm good right here. That's it. You know, that's pretty vulnerable when you lift your hands up. Being prior service, I didn't really care for that too much. I wanted to take care of myself. But I had to learn it's okay. You can trust God. You see, even when I first became a Christian, I didn't really trust God with everything in my life. Guess what? That's a walk. That's a thing called life, day in and day out. And you know, it's awesome that God gives us instruction on how to get that swaddling on. Matter of fact, he tells us in Psalms chapter 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I like what the Message Bible says. It says, by your words I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. Beloved, I want you to know God is still speaking. He's still giving signs. If we just stop, look, and listen, hallelujah, he's still on the throne. Even though that swaddling, sometimes it looks a little restrictive, and maybe it feels a little restrictive. Man, I can't go out partying anymore. Man, I can't go get drunk anymore. Can't go out drugging anymore. You know? And you know, the reality is, this is my own little conclusion, my own theory. Oftentimes we get caught up in the drugs and the alcohol and the womanizing and all those kind of things because we're really trying to fill the insecurities in our own life. You know, we kind of want to fit in because we're not fitting in over here, and I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. Thank you very much. That's right, and I want to hang around some people that think like I do. Yeah, and that's usually a bad road to go down. But you see, that swaddling, not only is it restricted because, you know, it's helping protect us, but it reveals something to us. Let me share this with you. Somebody cares about you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul tells us, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. God longs to swaddle you in his care, his protection, his sustenance, his revelation. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you discernment. He wants to give you favor in your workplace. He wants to help lift you up, praise God. He's looking for somebody that would just give him all the glory when he does that. But sometimes we get a little bit selfish. And then we start praying selfish prayers and things don't happen, and it gets a little frustrating. Because you know, God, you told me if any two agree on any one thing, it shall be done. You know, we start quoting scripture out of context. Because he also told us that, you know, you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss. Sometimes we ask selfishly. You know, I love what Tim Keller said one time. He is the pastor of the Redeemer Presbyterian Church up in New York City. He said, you know, God gives us what we would have asked for if we knew what he did. God would have given us what we would have asked for if we knew what he knew about everything. See, he knows the beginning from the end. He knows the first from the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows what's going to happen. He knows all the things that are going on in your world. That's why 1 Peter 5:7, Peter says, cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. He cares for you. And you know what? It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. There's no hole so deep, Corrie Ten Boom said. There's no hole so deep that God's not deeper still. You know, a lot of times we just need to get over our past. And that's hard because a lot of us, you know, we come to the altar. And man, you know, it almost looks like some people, when you come to the altar, you're just kind of hunched over. Because that baggage is, man, that's heavy. Man, I got to carry that with me, you know. Man, I kind of got a limp, you know, because my hip bugging me. Man, that stuff is heavy, man. Man, if you only knew the trouble I seen, you know. That's the old song. Nobody knows the trouble I seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. And guess what? Jesus doesn't want you carrying it. Because he said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden, light. You say it was just light on Friday night. No, no. He said, my burden is light. He wants to help you. He wants to give you revelation. He wants to give you wisdom in decisions and in workplace and everything else that's going on in your world. He wants to give you wisdom on this season. You know, this season isn't always a happy time for people. Sometimes this season is a really tough time. You know, when I remember when I was in the military overseas all by myself, man, birthdays and holidays were the worst. All by yourself. And I had a good friend. He said, Marshall, he said, he asked me during my birthday one time. He goes, what'd you get yourself for your birthday? I said, nah, man, you know, nothing. He said, don't you ever do that. He said, you're over here all by yourself on your birthday and Christmas. You go buy yourself something nice. So I did. Praise God. Whoever left, we had a goal. Whoever left with the most toys won, and I was in the lead. Praise God. Praise God. But can I submit to you that your Heavenly Father cares about you? He wants to help you. And, you know, we try to use illustrations and these kinds of things when we're preaching and sharing our heart because God's trying to speak to you and break through into your world. And the things that are going on with you may be totally different than the things that have been going on with me. But the fact remains that God loves you. He cares about you. What did John 3:16? We all know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A lot of us, we've heard that verse again and again and again. We're like, Marshall, you know, I've heard that my whole life. You know, I really, you know, kind of give me some meat of the word, can you? I've heard that all my life. I want to submit to you, that's the epicenter of the word of God. That God loved the world. That means he loved every single person. Black, white, yellow, brown, doesn't matter. Whosoever believes in him would not perish. That means the book's wide open. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you've had in your past. Doesn't matter the things that you've said, the things you've done. It doesn't matter. We have a God who's bigger than all our past, praise God. And he sent Jesus Christ to live just like everyone else in his early years. What, he was born, he was swaddled, he even got in trouble? Hey, man, I can relate to that. At 12 years old, I got him beat. I probably started at 5, you know, I don't know. But because God cared about his children, praise God, he allowed his son to endure the cross. That's what the scripture says. He didn't enjoy it. It says he endured the cross, despising its shame for the joy set before him. Praise God. Somebody cares about you, and somebody provides for you. You know, if you were going to wrap yourself up in swaddling clothes, you'd have a little bit of a difficult time, wouldn't you? You'd have some exposed places. You can't just wrap your whole self. I remember we went down to Guatemala at the end of September and in October, missions trip. And Nancy, you know, in her stunning style, you know, she took a fall down the stairs right before we left. We didn't plan that. I thought for sure she broke her arm. But she tore something and had to have like a special sling and bind it up. And I had to help her get this thing on, you know. And every time, you know, I didn't get it on, or I hit something, you know, it was kind of like, oh, you know what I mean? So you knew it was painful, right? You know what I mean? And you know, it was tough, you know, and I'm hurting because she's hurting and I'm trying to help her, but she couldn't do it herself. She needed somebody to help her out, somebody to put that on. And you know what? You might be doing awesome physically. You might have a great job. You're pulling in a wonderful salary. You're taking care of yourself. Man, you're going to have every present you ever wanted under the tree this year. Every present. But you know what the scripture says? That all our righteousness is as filthy rags. All that stuff is as filthy rags. See, because you and I, we can't take care of ourselves spiritually. Only God can do that. We need a Heavenly Father, and he did it through his son, Jesus Christ. That's how we got forgiveness. Matter of fact, Paul said, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God shows his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 1:7, Paul said, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Grace. Paul went on to say in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It was interesting, J.I. Packer, was a preacher who shared something. He said, of all the gifts of grace, adoption is the highest one. Of all the gifts of grace, I appreciate forgiveness. I appreciate the peace that passes all understanding. I appreciate God's provision. But the greatest one of all, the greatest gift of grace is adoption. Because I am now a part of a family that loves me and cares for me and is willing to sacrifice for me. I have a Heavenly Father who fights on my behalf, praise God. And it's only then when we invite Jesus Christ into our lives to have lordship and leadership of our lives that we're clothed in swaddling clothes of His righteousness, hallelujah, and join His family. You see, you can't get good enough. You just can't get good enough to join God's family. You have to be ready enough and willing to receive His free gift. Then you let Jesus Christ help you become all that God's called you to be. You know, it was interesting. When we think about a blanket, I had my Sam's blanket. I think I'm gonna get that. Get my Sam's blanket. Getting ready to, hallelujah, let me get my Sam's blanket here. I know y'all are jealous. That's all right. Y'all have to pray through that covetousness right there. But it was free, and that's my second favorite word after Jesus. Free. It's free for me. Praise the Lord. You know, when you think about a blanket, you think about something that feels good, don't you? You snuggle up, a good movie. You know, one of those movies, men, that you watch because your wife wants to watch it. It's all right. But you got that nice old blankie. You got all wrapped around you. That blankie's feeling good, isn't it? That blanket's making you feel comfortable, giving you a little warm. Yeah, you're starting to feel sleepy because you feel so relaxed. Not a fear of the world. I got my blankie, baby. Got my blankie on. But, you know, sometimes we wait too late. We say, well, tomorrow will be the day. The next day will be the day. And you know what? This morning, God just wants to put those swaddling claws of forgiveness, of love, of comfort, of warmth, of peace, of healing, all those things you just talked about, you thought about, all those. God wants all that for His children, and He wants it for you this morning. But we've got to be willing to let Him in. Would you do that this morning? Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. God, You're such an awesome God. Lord, there's some here this morning, Lord, they don't even know where to turn, Lord. Life's been hard. It's been challenges, been difficulties. It's hard to let anybody in, even You, God. It's hard to let anybody in. But Father, I pray right now that You begin to just like that nice, soft blanket. Lord, Your sweet Holy Spirit, thank You, Father. Lord, we begin to heal wounds. Lord, and pour out the oil. Lord, and speak life where there's been death. Lord, bring forth fruit where there's been desert. Let the living waters flow. Lord, You love Your family. You love Your children. There's nothing You wouldn't do for them. But Lord, You won't make us receive You. It's a voluntary decision. Lord, I pray You help us make that choice this morning for You and Your glory. With head bowed and eyes closed, can I just ask a quick question? Maybe this morning you say, you know what, Brother Marshall, I'm not really where I need to be with God, but I want to be this morning. Would you pray for me? If that's you, you just lift a hand real quick, put it back down. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. You know, that's one of the most courageous decisions that we can make. That's the toughest decision, is to realize, I'm not really where I need to be with God, but I want to be. I want to be. Help me. Help me. Help me. And it's as simple as saying, God, here I am. Would You forgive me? Would You help me have the kind of relationship that You long for me to have? Would You come and live inside my heart? Help lead me. Help me to live the life You've called me to live, in Jesus' name. If that's the prayer of your heart,
then that's exactly what he's going to do. He's a faithful God. The second thing I want to ask this morning is that perhaps you've just kind of been going through and you just need God to be God in your heart and life, to heal old wounds, to bring restoration, to bring healing, to touch your life, encourage you. If that's you this morning, you lift a hand real quick, put it back down. Brother Marshall, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, church? I don't want to make people stay. I don't know what our time is or is not, but I always want to allow opportunity for people to respond to invitation. You say, well, why is that? Why is that, Marshall? What's the big deal about responding? You see, there's something about action that solidifies a decision. You know, I can decide that, boy, I'm sure thirsty and I'm going to go get a drink of water, but if I don't move, I'm not going to get a drink, am I? I'm not going to get one. But I've made a decision. I'm going to get it. But if I don't move, I'll never get it. And sometimes we just need to make a move and find it a place, an old-fashioned altar. Used to call it a mourner's bench, place at the front. Kneel down, talk to God. It's a place where you meet God. And guess what? It's a place where we kind of take that pride. Remember when I couldn't even pray right and I couldn't even pronounce hoax, you know, earlier when I was praying? Sometimes God does that intentionally to let you know, hey, you're not quite as big a thing as you think you are. And it's not all about you, it's all about me. Would you let it be all about God this morning? Perhaps you need a touch from the Lord. I'm going to ask Pastor Dave to come. We're going to pray for people that come, but maybe you just want to spend a little bit of time at the front altar. Maybe you need to make things right with the Lord. Just want to open the altar and invite you to come this morning. Could you? He told me I got to come down there. You know, one thing I remember in the country church is when I first came into Pentecost in a small church, the enemy used to always kind of speak in my ear and say, well, what's everybody going to think? What's everybody going to think? You going down to the altar all the time? Because, man, I needed a lot of Jesus when I got saved. I needed a lot of him. And I kept going, and I just said, you know what? I really don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm not going to let anybody steal what God has for me. And I'm going to keep coming until I get the answer. And I hope this morning that you resolve in your heart and mind that you don't care what anybody else thinks. You don't care what anybody else says when it comes to your relationship with God. You make that decision. I'm gonna stay the course. I'm gonna keep coming. Hallelujah. Until I get the answer.
I'm gonna ask Robert and Kimberly to come down too. Let's get some more ladies. Grace, maybe you could come down. Just if you want to come up and get personal prayer, we're here and available right up here right now for that. Ian can come up. Yep. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pour out your spirit in this place. Pour out your spirit in this place. Thank you, Lord. Move by your spirit. Move by your spirit, Lord. Lord, you're touching lives, Lord. This is the acceptable hour. This is the day of salvation. I just ask if you raised your hand earlier that you would come up and just come up and receive prayer with one of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I need your touch. my life with the light of your presence. This is my heart's desire. Come and let your spirit abide. I long for your presence. This is my heart's desire. I long to be washed in the well of your mercy. I long to be warmed by the fire of your glory. I long for your presence. I long for your healing touch. Come, O Lord, and fill up my life with the light of your presence. This is my heart's desire. O Father, come and let your spirit abide. I long for your presence. This is my heart's desire. O Father, come and let your spirit abide. I long for your presence. This is my heart's desire. Come and let your spirit abide. I long for your presence. This is my heart's desire. Close to you, never let me go. I lay it all down again. Hear you say that I'm your friend. My desire, no one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Find a way, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
Shared a scripture on Wednesday night, and I believe that's just really a now word for this whole church, is that we wouldn't just experience something. The scripture was from Corinthians, where he said, I didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but I came in a demonstration of the Spirit and a power. And that our lives aren't just going to be marked by things that we think are good or whatever, but that our lives are going to be marked by a demonstration of God's Spirit in our life. And that's what we're experiencing right now. Amen. This is a demonstration of the Spirit. Prayer is a demonstration of the Spirit of God. It's not what the world calls wise. Amen? It's not what the world calls whatever, a good idea. Prayer and seeking the Lord is literally touching God and asking God to touch you. And that's everything. That's everything. That's everything we could ever want. That's the greatest gift. Amen. That's the greatest thing, is to get touched by God. And so I'm just so blessed that the Spirit of God is on display. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm just so glad that we can just pray. Are you giving me a swaddling cloth? Are you swaddling me? I need some swaddling cloth. That's a good, powerful message. Thank you, Lord. Just give Marshall a hand. He's just been used by the Lord and really shared his heart and his soul. That's one of the biggest lies of the enemy, is that serving God is going to restrict you in a negative way. On a fundamental level, it will restrict you, but it will restrict you in the greatest way possible. Tell you what, when I'm in an airplane, I don't want to be hanging out on the wing of the airplane. You know what I'm saying? I want to be restricted. Amen? I want to be in that cabin, really restricted. Amen? When those space... Me and Johnny were watching space rockets, NASA, and they're up there. They're in their little space suit. I don't know where they go to the bathroom in that thing, but it's pretty restricted. But you know what? It's a good restriction. And they're happy to wear that space suit, I believe. Don't you think? Saw Toy Story, and Woody sneaks up on Buzz Lightyear. He hits the button, and it's... Do y'all remember that? And his little space suit, and then he goes, "Oh, my goodness, what did you just do? Don't you know I could have been vaporized," or something like that. Thank you, Lord, for swaddling clothes in our life and just wrapping us up. Wrapping us up, protecting us. He's a protector. Tell you what, we're going to have a little baby to protect pretty soon. I mean, we're like halfway through. I remember wrapping up Elijah. We called him Burrito Boy. We swaddled him. And it's like the tighter you would swaddle him, the happier they are. Because it just makes them feel nice and cozy. Well, I want us to have an opportunity to financially bless our minister that came to us today. And he operates on a faith walk. Amen. He's walking by faith. We're walking by faith. And his financial needs are met by faith. So can we be a part of that? Amen. Can we give and be a blessing to his ministry? I'm going to ask the ushers to come up, and let's pray. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you provide. You call us. You don't call us where we have it all together. You don't call us where it always makes a lot of sense. You don't call us where we can figure it out, just like Marshall talked about. You call us where you desire us to go, and you say, "I'll be there. I'll be there." That's the provision. The provision is me. And I just pray that, Lord, I pray, Lord, your provision from heaven, everything that's needed for Marshall and Nancy, their family, where you've called them to go. You've called them to preach the gospel all over this nation and all over the world. And I'm blessed that he was able to come and share your gospel here at this church this morning. I just pray for them. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to provide for them in every way that's needed. I pray you continue to open up more and more and more doors to be able to share the gospel for them. Thank you for his ministry that you really anointed him to speak and to share, and I just thank you for that. I pray for this offering, Lord, that it would be multiplied. Lord, I pray it would be a blessing to them. Lord, I pray it would fund the mission that you've called them to. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have a check, you can make it out to our church, Church of Living Hope. And the church will write a check to him. We can always give online also. And we will know based on the time. Because if you'll give right now, clhtyler.org, clhtyler.org, and go to giving and give right now, we will know. The Lord always knows. He knows. And we will also can appropriate funds that way. What a blessing. Do I get to keep this for real? I'm just kidding. But the more I looked at it, the more it was cozy. It really was. This is a cozy blankie. I just called it a blankie. And now you know I have a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old. And we are going to have a church picture, y'all. And this always requires special instructions because as simple as it sounds, it always